starts in the hospital. Well, take that back. It starts when the baby's born, and the baby might be born in the car, the cab, the boat, off the road, or wherever. But when the baby comes, then the parenting starts, actually. But let's rewind that. Actually, parenting starts at conception. Now, when our first daughter was born, Robin, we had it all planned. Nancy and I lived in St. Louis, Missouri. We had it all. We had the drive all planned. We practiced driving so we would make no mistakes. We had to cross a railroad track, so we were very careful to have plan B. It was all set up. The time came, Nancy said, "Neil, it is time." And so she grabbed the suitcase, and I grabbed the camera, snapped a couple of pictures as she was going down the hall. We got in the car. We got to the hospital. Now, bear in mind, this is the in the olden days when fathers-to-be could not be with the mother-to-be. They had to be left outside the door. So I'm going with my honey. We get to the double doors, and the door slam, and they say, "Sir, I'm sorry, you can't come. You can't go past the double doors. We have a room for you. We call it the father's room." So they escorted me to the father's room. So I'm sitting in the father's room. I'm waiting, and I'm waiting, and I'm waiting, and I'm waiting. Finally, word comes to me from Nancy, and she says, "Honey, just go on home. It's going to be a long, long time." So I said, "Okay, I would." So I got in the car, and I drove all the way 2 blocks. This is dumb. I'm going to go right back. I'm going to go back and be with her. So I went back to the father's room. I sat there. These guys would come in to become fathers, and then they would get up and leave as fathers. I'm just sitting there waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. So the nurse comes in, and she says to this one guy, "Sir, you have twins." Now, again, this is before ultrasound, and nobody knew what. And "I can't believe this," he said. "Twins? I work for the Minnesota Twins." It was amazing. It's amazing. So I'm waiting. We're all waiting. The nurse comes in again, and she says to the other guy, "Sir, you've got triplets." And he says, "Whoa, I work for the 3M company." And at that point, this guy falls on the floor, just collapses on the floor. And the nurse says, "What's wrong with you?" And he says, "I work for the 7-Up company." I'm waiting and waiting. Finally, after 36 hours, right, Nanny? 36 hours, Robin comes. Anyway, I say that to say this, that I have a little expertise in parenting, or we do. I have made a lot of mistakes raising my children. I think that's 876 mistakes, I'm not sure. But with 5 children and 12 grandchildren, I'm working my way through it. Let me ask you this. Have any of you ever received an award of any kind? Any kind of an award? A few hundred, just any kind of award, like a happy sticker or something. Okay, you got an award. A couple of years ago, Nancy and I received an award. At first, I was blown away because the title really threw me. It said, "Nancy and Neil, you are receiving the Mean Parent Award." The Mean Parent Award. I first was thrown by it, but then I see that it's not so bad after all. The Mean Parent Award. Okay. The mean parent never allows candy or sweets to take the place of a well-balanced meal. Okay. The mean parent insists on knowing where their children are at all times, who their friends are, and what they do. The mean parent breaks the child labor law by making their children work, washing dishes, making beds, learning to cook, and other cruel and unpleasant tasks, chores. We did get the Mean Parent Award. The mean parent makes life miserable for their offsprings by insisting that they always tell the truth. The mean parent produces teenagers who are wiser and more sensible. The mean parent can smile with secret desire and pride when they hear their own grandchildren call their parents mean. So what the world needs now is love. No. Yes, it's true. But what the world needs now are more mean fathers and mothers. How many of you would like to receive the Mean Parent Award? Now I can hear the scuttlebutt on the streets now in our little cities. Pastor Neil's been recruiting mean parents. Okay, mean parents. First of all, in your bulletins, the biblical influence. First of all, we turn to Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9. We want to teach. Would you read with me Deuteronomy 4, 9? Only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them slip from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. It's a great scripture, teaching the children. Deuteronomy 6, 6, 7, and 8 reads like this. My ears will hear you read together. These commandments talk about them. First of all, when you sit at home watching TV, there are commercials. Turn the commercial off and talk about Jesus. Two, when you walk along the road, take those walks. Three, when you lie down, that's bedtime, and when you get up. Let me tell you, parents, the child's journey, if you don't know, between the ages of 4 and 14 is very, very short. You blink your eyes and there they are, getting ready to graduate. We got to teach them to say, hello, Jesus, even before their feet hit the floor in the morning. Now, when your child was very young, I mean really young, you fed him with a what? A bottle. And the bottle was full of what? Milk. When they get older, you feed them milk. And whether they're in the cradle or whether they are teenagers, well, we all need our milk. In fact, we adults need our milk too. Because one of the great ingredients in the milk, it says right here, is vitamin D. What does vitamin D do? Thank you very much. Build strong bones, and also what else? That's right. Build strong teeth. So we got it. Well, you fed your baby the milk. Now the Bible says, as you see in your bulletin, 1 Peter 2:2, desire the sincere what? Milk of the Word. So this is milk. This is the milk of the Word that we parents must at all times teach our children. Now, we talked about the vitamin D. Vitamin D is very important. As a matter of fact, if we have a 2,000 calorie intake a day, we need 400, I think, units of vitamin D. You get vitamin D not just in the milk. Where else do you get vitamin D? From the sun. Did you know that if you go outdoors and let the sun hit your face, your arm, and your hand, you get about two-thirds of the vitamin D requirements for your body? If you take a sun bath, which I doubt if any of you have ever done, you would get almost all the vitamin D that you need. Vitamin D gets on our skin, gets into the blood system, gets to our liver, I suppose, and it does what it's supposed to do. But God has given us, in His Word, the sincere milk of the Word, and we are to nourish our children at all times. In other words, we're supposed to be vitamin D dispensers on the physical level, as we've talked about, and also on the spiritual level, from the nursing milk bottle to the glass of milk with vitamin D to the teenagers and young adults. Now, I like the sun. I get my vitamin D. But the Bible tells us, if you follow in the bulletin, that we are to teach our children. In other words, if we're to be meaningful, have a meaningful influence on our children as parents, we need to teach them to absorb the D. Place on your bulletin. D, delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. Number two, delight yourself in the law of the Lord. Delight yourself to know God's ways. Delight yourself in approaching God. And delight yourself in the Sabbath. This is what we want our kids to absorb. This is the deep, the vitamin D, the sincere milk of the Word. And God's got a delight too. The scripture says in Psalm 142:11, that the Lord delights in those that fear Him and who put their hope in His unfailing love. So God's got His delights too. Number two, the training influence. We teach and now we train. All of you know Proverbs 22:6. You can read it with me together. Train up a child in the way he or she should go, and when he or she is older, they will not depart from it. This is our purpose statement as parents. We are to train up our child. There's the physical area and there is the spiritual area. In other words, take your children to church. And obviously you have done that, you who've brought children to church. But you'd be surprised, the children that we have right now at the 9 o'clock service and those at the 10:30 service, whose parents drop them off, let the church do what it does, not realizing that 1% of their life is in church, while we're told statistically 16% is in a school, and that leaves 83% of their time in our hands. And at some point between the Lamaze classes and the PTA or whatever the school organization is called, it becomes very clear that one of our main jobs as a parent is to counter the culture. It is like rowing upstream or paddling upstream in a canoe. If you stop paddling upstream, you're going to go what? And so we've got to counter the culture. It's not that we had less time than parents before had with their children. It's that we've got to counter the culture at all times. And sometimes we feel defeated. Sometimes we feel hopeless. Sometimes we're overwhelmed by the culture. It's like this. Trying to get your kids to eat green beans after they've been told all day about the wonders of the Milky Way. It's very difficult. After church, if you want to, you can pick up this green piece of paper at both of the rear doors. It says, how to train your child to be a delinquent. Okay, now the scuttlebutt will continue. Not only am I recruiting mean parents, now I'm also trying to teach you how to train your child to be a delinquent. Anyway, we have many there for you. Take them home. Take a reading. It will influence you a lot. In the area of the spiritual, we train our children. In the area of the physical, in your bulletins, set your kids up on a regular schedule for doing homework and chores. And be sure to develop regular routines for bedtime and getting ready in the morning. Be sure to let your kids know exactly what you expect of them and when, as well as what the consequences are for disobeying. And most of the conflicts that families experience today stem directly from unclear expectations and a lack of solid rules. So we set them up on regular schedules. We develop regular routines. They know exactly what we expect of them and consequences for disobeying. We've got to be very clear. It's like when the kids, all five, were in our station wagon. We were driving to Salinas somewhere, and somebody in the back, I'm not going to identify the child, but anyway, may or may not be present. They were like a spaghetti bowl back there. They were so at each other and so forth. And so I singled out the person that was guilty, and I said, I'm gonna throw you out of the car if you don't stop. Now, come on. What parent will throw their kids out of a car? Well, my child knew that, and so they kept on doing what they're doing. So when you, in other words, parents, say what you mean and mean what you say, and all will go well all of your days. Number three, we need to look at the sun, moon, and star influence. Transmit for the Christ-centered home. There is an order. We've got the Father, who is the Son. We've got the Mother, who is the Moon. We got the kids, who are the stars, in this way. In the Father, the Son, Ephesians 6:4. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. I think too many dads leave out their spiritual father, which would be God. Mother's the moon, Proverbs 31:27. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. And the kids are the stars, Proverbs 31:28, her children rise up and call her blessed. Now, I use this father-son I use the sun, the moon, and the stars in this way. When you saw the beautiful moon last night, and somebody said, "Oh, look how bright the moon is shining." Well, you know as well as I do, the moon has no what? No light in itself. So what does the moon do? The moon reflects the sun. So in a godly home, you've got a father, you've got the mother, and you've got the children. You've got the sun, the moon, and the stars. Now you have an upside down family if the stars take the place of the sun. Ladies, I love you, and you've got a lot of light yourself, but in this biblical home setup, you reflect your husband. And so husbands, dads, be the dad so that your wife can reflect adequately and properly. Number four, we look at teach, we've looked at training and transmitting, and now the touch. We cradle in our home VIPs, very important persons. And we must instill in them that this is the truth, or otherwise they will bounce around life at all ages, wondering who they are, and can become self-destructive in self-esteem. Our kids are very important people, and I think a lot of parents just sort of forget this because they're so wrapped up in the 9-to-5 job and things they have to do around the house that the kids are just there, but they are very important people. If I had an egg carton, here's what I would show you. That we, egg carton, who's got an egg carton? Wake up. Well, I put one to sleep, didn't I? Okay, thank you, okay. I label it the home, and this is why I label it the home, because I tell you, if I was an egg, I would love to be cradled and taken care of. In our home, we've got kids that are very, very, very special. And we must cradle them carefully. And it is the job of the father, it's the job of the mother in this home to take care of our kids and not forget that they are precious. They have been given to us by God, loaned to us, actually, by God. And they're very, very important people. And they've got to know how important they are. In raising my 5 children, I made certain that one day a month, I would take one out on a date. We do something different every time. But the point was, it was a time when they did not have to compete with other siblings. They could be with themselves, with me, and we could go out on our date. It showed them they are very, very special people. And furthermore, well, just leave it there. They're very, very special. Can I have a couple come forward? Buddy, you want to help me here? Sure you do. And somebody else? Nancy? Yeah, Tim. When these two come to the front, I want you to close your eyes, okay? Once they get here, I want you to close your eyes. And please don't fall asleep, as somebody else apparently did. Okay, close your eyes. And you guys can face me, okay? So with every eye closed, we're going to do something very special here, and when I finish, we are going to have you open your eyes and look at these as they return to their seat, okay? Okay, they're going to preach a sermon, okay? And they're not going to say a word. They're just going to go back to their seats. Preaching a sermon, it's called the Wordless Sermon. Never forget, parents, that children, grandchildren, and even your children who are living in another state are very, very important. Would you say that out loud? My children are important. My children are important, no matter what age they happen to be. They are a delight. They are precious. And God has instructed them to our care. In my notes, I put wow and wow. And God often uses them to speak to us. So as parents, we have a great responsibility because you are ministers. That's what the Bible says, that the job of the pastor is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And part of that ministry is taking care of your children. Now, Mom, your pulpit is your kitchen sink or your electric or gas range. So important. You have that pulpit, not like Pastor Duncan has, but it's your pulpit. And if you're a working mother, you have, wow, you have a greater congregation. And your dads, you know, most of you have, what, 24 hours? I guess all of you have 24 hours. Okay. You got 8 hours to sleep. Times pass. And when we need help with ourselves, rather than hide, we must run to God, seek His help, ask Him to provide others that they can be of help and encouragement to us. And people, we are all struggling day by day to be holy and to live a holy life, aren't we? Some days are better than other days. Some days are really the pits. But we must fight every day. And what we would like to do is to get to heaven someday, knowing that our part of the church is out without spot or wrinkle. To prepare us for heaven means that today we must go through some pretty horrible things as we confess to one another. We'd all then have to say when we got to heaven to one another, I wish they had come and talked to me. I was going through the same thing. And you can squeeze your wife in there too. God has got us all together for a great purpose. And we need to remember what I'm about to tell you, okay? You will remember this. Great ideas for you to take home. Number one, I want you to hang a picture of Jesus in your children's room. Do you realize that kids are quicker to respond to pictures than they are to words? Number two, teach your kids how to pray. By the time a child is 5 years old, he or she should be able to speak a one-sentence prayer. And by the time he's 6 or 7, actually should be looking forward to results and answers to a prayer. But never correct your children when they pray, even though they make all kinds of grammatical errors. They make all kinds of mistakes. Never correct them when they pray because they're not talking to you anyway. They're talking to God. So never correct them. And number three, bless your children every morning. You parents who have young children, put your hand on them before they go to school and bless them. The Lord bless and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you. And when they come home from school, lay your hand on them and cleanse them up by the blood of Jesus for all the contamination that they have received while they were in school. Take short walks, get outside into God's world, identify trees, capture bugs, look at scenery, let all creation just praise God. And the last one is this. Display your children's Sunday school work, because letting a youngster's effort at school, Sunday school, die a painful death on the car floor is not very encouraging to the children, and it can leave great hurt feelings. They've done something. Show them. Grandkids the same way. Let's just, as parents, do what we've been called to do. Now, these efforts is not a guarantee that your daughter or your son will even know God, but incorporating some of these ideas will be a daily reminder of God's presence and God's help. So the last conclusion is this. Steps toward meaningful influence. Parents of Rock Harbor, don't just flow through life, but have life flow through you. Jesus said, for both you and your children, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly in the home where you live. And so my prayer is just, God, I pray you bless the parents that are here, bless the children that are represented, and may we as parents do what we've been called to do in the care and in the nurturing of these children, no matter how old they might be. Help us to give your life through them. Amen. Jesus gave His life as He gave His life so that we might live. It is this kind of a life that we try to instill into our children. Would the ushers come forward for serving communion? And as you come, you can start serving right away, if you will.